Oh, shalom, shalom, my friends. Romans 8, verse 16 and part of 17, says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And if children, right there, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. I like that. Just not heirs of God, but we're right there with Jesus. When we accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we joined God's family. We became one of His very own children. And we received the same rights and privileges that Jesus has. Let that sink in for a second. As joint heirs with Christ, we have access to the limitless resources of God Himself, the assurance of eternal life, and a relationship with God that brings peace and joy. We also have the opportunity, to make the difference by sharing the love of God with others. You can do it. He's called each and every one of us to do that. You can turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. But right now, while as you're turning, you get there. In verse 27, it says, Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God. The things which are impossible for men is possible with God has become ours." There's another one, Sila Moments. But how do we actually partake of God's blessings and glory? How do we receive and experience them for ourselves? So many people accept Jesus as Savior. And then that's that. See, they don't receive Him as Lord. They don't go any deeper with Him than that. He's their Savior. Then they go back to living the best way that they know how. And what are they waiting for? They're waiting for the day that they can walk on the streets of gold in heaven. But the with God at the end of that verse. Okay, with God. I want you to remember that. Keep that in mind. With parentheses. With God. It makes our impossibilities possible. And also means that we are following God. In other words, our with God is a lifestyle. It's not just an event that happens. It's a lifestyle. All right. So you're there in Luke 18. And we're going to start reading at verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, Jesus, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all this, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful. Oh. For see, he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, probably dropped his head, wouldn't look up, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. We see here this man's wealth made his life very, very comfortable. It gave him power and it gave him prestige. When Jesus told him to sell everything that he owned, Jesus was touching on the very basis of his security and his identity. This man did not understand that he would be even more secure if he followed Jesus than he was with all his wealth. Jesus doesn't ask all believers to sell everything they have. Although this might be his will for some. You know, because you don't want to take that out. You could think of things like, because that right there just, you know, I don't know how, but I thought of JCPenney. He says, I'll take my 10%. Here, you do the 90. That man never needed anything. His 10% was a lot of money. And that 90% he was giving to God. Never blinked an eye. Never blinked an eye. And we're going to see what happened now to that corporation. Because it's not under the same godly principles and a godly leadership. They struggle. And we won't go into that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Now, where was I here? Okay, this man didn't understand that he would be even more secure than he ever was if he just would follow Jesus. See, he doesn't ask us all to get rid of all that we have. But he does want us to get rid of anything that has become more important than God. Think of some of the things you have in your life right now.
Come on. Things that are holding you captive, Pastor.
You got that right. If our basis for security has shifted from God to what we own, It would be better for us to get rid of those possessions. Because money represents power, authority, and success. It is very often difficult for wealthy people to realize their need and their powerlessness to save themselves. Now, the rich in talent or intelligence suffer the same difficulty. This often has to do with pride, arrogance, haughtiness, self-importance. Unless God reaches down into their lives, they will not come to Him. These people need a lot of intercession. And we know a lot of those people. We see them talk about it. And we can see that a lot of them, they actually don't know where they're at in their life. You can tell it by the things they're doing. They're searching and they don't know. Yeah, them rich people are searching and they don't know. Because it's that dollar. Now, some of them have got so many dollars that, you know, they don't know. But they're lacking. But they think that what they can do, oh, I'm going to do this for mankind. We're going to inject all the mosquitoes and send them out with the vaccine so that when you all get bit by it, you're going to get vaccinated. They're not helping mankind. You get what I'm saying? But Jesus, he surprised so many of his listeners back then by offering salvation to the poor. See, and he may surprise many people today by offering it to the rich. He doesn't want any of them lost either. Priest prays for their salvation. She does. But she calls in their wealth to the kingdom of God. Because they don't know how to spend it, so she says, bring it to us. We'll show you, we'll put a smile on your face. But she prays for her salvation. See, it is difficult for a self-sufficient person to realize their need and to come to Jesus. But what is impossible with men is possible with God. Verse 26. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? You can't buy your way into heaven. It ain't by works. It's by grace, through faith. Come on. But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he said to them, truly I tell you, Jesus said, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. See, we keep forgetting that part, that this age.
That's right.
Hey, you in the mirror. Did you hear that? Yeah, he's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. Well, I'm the pastor. Yeah, I know, but you ain't listening to yourself. He talks to me the same way on subjects. I have to go in there because I need straightened out. The only one that can straighten him out, I get in there and I talk to him. And then the Holy Spirit comes up within my spirit, and then I actually think sometimes I'm watching his lips are moving. I'm not talking about, I'm just listening, see. Because, see, I'm reminded of what he said. You talk too much. You don't listen, though. You know? But there in verse 28, talking about himself and the other disciples, Peter told Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." See, following God sometimes means giving up things or making sacrifices. It may mean giving up your family's approval. When you become one of them.
Yeah, buddy.
I remember my family. They said, "Oh, Teresa finally got to him. He became one of them."
Yeah.
Praise God, I became one of them.
That's right.
Am I right? Is that what they were saying? Oh, man, she got him. He's one of them. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all became one of them. Yeah. And you know, I know a lot of you, because I know you came out, I'm going to say, of a different religion. Mm-hmm. And boy, you were shunned out of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you accepted Jesus as Lord. Hallelujah. It may mean leaving friends who don't want to follow God wholeheartedly. You know, my friend list sure went down. All my drinking buddies was gone because I didn't drink no more. You know, the only one who was on my side was Amber's dad before he passed. You know what David said? He told the family one day, listen, he said, listen. He says, he's the same Jack.
That's right.
He just cleaned his act up. He don't tell dirty jokes. He tells clean jokes now. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And then he popped another beer and walked into the other room. But you know what? I know he's in heaven because I was there when he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Right.
But he was the only one. Oh, Jesus. You got to love it. It may even mean giving up a comfortable familiar surroundings to obey God. When God tells you to move somewhere, you make sure you listen and it's God. Don't use it as an excuse to leave where you're planted. That's all I want to say. A lot of people have. Then they went out there, and then all they say is, "What? Now I can't go back. Why?" Because they're afraid of what other people are going to say. They're going to laugh at them. No. They're going to walk on the back. But see, that's what happens. And Satan is behind all of it. But it could be a whole number of things. But if we follow God with our whole heart, he will give us more than we ever had. I have more now than I had before I met Christ. I do, and I'm bragging on God.
That's right.
I could not have achieved what I achieve now. I was making a, you know, they were with Leanne and Teresa with me the other day. I went over, I put some money in the savings account. I keep it spread out. I went over, I put some money in the savings account. Then she says, "How much do you really have in this one?" And they were looking, and we got talking, and I don't know how it ended up, but they says, "How far ahead are you on the car payments?" That's why I got one more car payment, and we own it. It's 2 years ahead of time.
Yeah.
God's principles work for me. You know, It's nothing to do. I mean, I know what I can do with my money. And I support ministries on my own. I support this ministry with my tithes and offerings. And that's what you do. But it goes into the storehouse. You support it, but guess what? This ministry is going to go on. This ministry is going to go on. This ministry, we pray over the finances, it is financially secure. I mean, that's one of the first ones you started doing, it was Shirley all the time. She would always take that one on. She would pray for the finances here. She would pray for Eleanor that she sees everything in the financial realm for this church and oversees it well, doesn't miss anything. And she's always prayed, always in the black, never in the red. That's her confession over this church. Praise God, we're in the block. Amen. We will be getting together to be giving our yearly report, yes. Okay. We never give up anything for God without Him blessing and prospering us many times over. See, don't be sitting there saying, oh, I wish that were me. That's your first mistake. You should be saying, that is me. And you can look at your book, you can look at everything in front of you and it's saying, You say, no, but that's me. I'm getting blessed. I'm prosperous. See, yeah, automatically, everybody wants to go to the negative end. Quit going negative. Positive. See, sometimes, though, people want to see the blessing before they do the giving up. And, you know, don't dwell on the giving up. Think about what you have gained and give thanks for it all. In big capital letters, it says, you can never out give God. Of course, the way I got there was God said, you can never outgive me. And I went, oh, yeah. Because that's what I've always said. I want to make it true so it encompassed everybody. Hallelujah. But see, but this is where it comes in to what we've talked about, faith. Faith. See, we have to believe Luke 18, 27 to 30, that the God who does the impossible will increase us in every area as we follow Him. And we know if we are with God, we're following Him. What does it mean to follow God? It means that we have priorities. Not our priorities, but His priorities. His priorities. When God's priorities become our priorities, we will put Him and His Word first. This is not an option. It's a necessity. Yeah. Prayer is not an option. It is a necessity. When you get that in your heart, your purpose to be here. I don't have time. But you have time to go home and sit down and do nothing. You turn on the TV. And then you listen to all that garbage. The TV don't go on in our house. You know what it goes on for? The Victory Channel. Watching Flashpoint. Or watching Kenneth Copeland or Keith Moore, Pastor Barkley. They're on there. That's what should be flowing in the house. Lee can tell you, that's the only time, that TV don't come on that often in our house anymore. I don't. There's nothing that interests me there. I never thought I'd get to that point. But I've got there. God has consumed me.
Amen.
And that's what I want. Am I there yet? No, I am not perfect. But see, we will put him first. We won't put our friends first. We won't even put listening to Christian podcasts, reading teaching materials, and attending special meetings first. We will put him first. Now, those other things can help us, but they can't take the place of his word and of our fellowship with him. Be honest, some of you who got there, that's more important. He desires our fellowship. And understand this right now. He wants to develop that relationship with you to a point of very personal, intimate relationship.
Amen.
You're the only one that can cause that to happen. You have to work on it. See that, Shirley? Comes back on us. You can always tell when a person is putting God and his word first. It's not determined by the absence of tests and trials in their life. It's what they do in the midst of the tests and trials that shows where their priorities lie. When we are putting God first and a problem or situation arises, we won't wring our hands and say, "Oh God, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do." No. We will have already armed ourselves with his word. And we will begin to speak God's word. We talk so much about speaking, decreeing, declaring. So we speak God's word. And how do we speak? Tim, how do we speak?
Faith.
How do we speak?
With our mouth.
With our mouth. There you go. With our mouth. We have to put in our heart what we want to come out. Because whatever you put in will eventually come out of your mouth. If you speak what the doctor speaks, you're going to have what the doctor speaks. Well, that's what his test said. Oh, I know what that. Okay, yeah, you just go. But this is what the Word of God says. Let it have the final authority. Lady, I think you broke your leg. Oh, no, no, not in Jesus' name, not in Jesus' name. So I don't have no broken leg. See, but what did she do? No, I'm not identifying with that in Jesus' name. She took authority over it. That's how simple it was. And then a person went up. And after that, while she was, you guys got the clean when she was actually waiting to be x-rayed. Yeah. And I was told right at that time, yeah, they're waiting to confirm the broken leg. I said, there's no broken leg. I said, we've already prayed. That, and it was like, oh, amen. Oh, amen.
Yeah.
See how easy it is? This is not how I envisioned all this happening, saying today. But in Luke chapter 6, Verse 45, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I already got mine. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 10. Now, I'm going to set this up. This is when the Pharisees saw his disciples, and they were eating, and they said, hey, they didn't wash their hands, they didn't do this, did that. You're walking in a field. Ain't no running water. Yeah. And you're hungry. You're going to eat what's on the plant. Many a time I went up to that garden of mine, pulled a tomato off, wiped it, ate it.
That's all. That's it.
Pulled one of them green onions out that my wife don't let me have anymore. Pull that thing off there, snap it. Eat that. Eat the green part of it. Man. And I'm like, hi, Tracy. Oh, you were up the garden again. I didn't clean my hands. I didn't wash it off either. Hallelujah. I do miss my garden. Oh, man. I love that. Going up there, snapping off them green beans. Ooh, yeah. Just eat them right off the plant. All right. So you're there. Verse 10. We're in 15. Okay. It says, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. It is what we say and think that makes us unclean. Now you drop down to verse 15 there. Okay? Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the mouth proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Getting to the point of understand what you're putting in, what you're listening to. The word is important to be in every day, especially in the times we're living in right now. Jesus' return is getting real close here.
Yes, it is.
I feel it. Yep. Every day it gets closer. I mean, you've heard the latest here, and you shouldn't take fear. What I ran is done. And they're going after the apple of God's eye. Ah, man, I mean, yeah, even you think about it, the hair on my leg stands up. God will not be mocked. He said, these are my people. And see, the United States has made some very smart moves and said, we're going to align. We're behind you. Man, when that comes out, God said, okay, that was good move on your part,
right.
America. You got that right. But now, let me read you that in the Message Bible, because I thought this was so cool. And I know Dean's shaking his head. This is what we read here. Peter said, I don't get it. Put it in plain language. Jesus replied, you too? Are you being willfully stupid? Don't you know that anything that is swallowed works its way through the intestines and is finally defecated? But what comes out of the mouth gets its start in the heart. It's from the heart that we vomit up arguments, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, lies, and cursing. That's what pollutes. Eating or not eating certain foods, washing or not washing your hands, that's neither here nor there. You gotta love it. I liked it. Are you being willfully stupid, Peter? Come on. But he clarified it for him. How many of you would have stuck around and Jesus talking to you like that? I just ask you. I'm just telling you. I know, because peoples is peoples, I'm telling you. As a person thinks in his heart, so is he. How do thoughts get into our heart? Through the eyes, ears, and the other senses. The raw material of our actions is what we take into our mind and allow it to settle in our heart. David put it this way in Psalms 119, verse 11. Your word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The other side is seen in Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Yeah, let that one sink in for a moment. Now, the Apostle Paul pictured the believer as bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that was. Putting God and His things first always means putting His will first. To follow God, we must put His desires above our desires and choose His will for our lives over our own. Putting God's will for us first is a choice. Right. And we have to affirm this throughout our lives. See, it's not a once done and that's it. No. See, that's what a lot of people get. They do it. I'll do this on Monday. I'll wait the rest of the week. And then the rest of the week goes to... You know, you got to reaffirm it. Almost. It's like, I'll tell you, we're living in the end times. See, if you haven't already, though, done this, so I challenge you to put God's desires for your life above your own. He made you. He created you for a very special purpose, which is brought forth through His planning. His plans, what He has planned for your life. Our purpose is to glorify God. We start by acknowledging Him as our Creator, praising and worshiping Him as such. We glorify Him also by living our lives in relationship and faithful service to Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24 of the Amplified Classic Edition says, only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. For consider how great are the things He has done for you. Well, for one thing, you ain't going to hell. It's a little bit of a hot trip here on earth till you get up there. It's in the walk. It's in the walk. Proverbs 19:21 of the Amplified Classic says, many plans are in a man's mind, But it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. It is not our plans that contain his purposes. It may take some time, but God will ultimately get us back onto his plan. He'll get us on the right path, going in the right direction. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Yeah.
In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. How about this one? Ephesians 2:10, Amplified Classic Edition. For we are God's own handiwork. His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. Living the good life. Living the good life. Living the good life. Which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Are you living the good life? If not, could it be whose plan we are following? Yours or the one he has for your life? Sila. Psalm 33:11. Dean, you can get verse 12 ready just to read it out loud right after that. This is the, it says, the plans of the Lord stand forever. It's the plans of the Lord to stand forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Through all generations. But when I read that and I knew what I was reading for, then God said, what about your nation? What's it say? Verse 12, real loud.
Blessed, yeah. Happy, come on, fortunate to be envied is the nation whose God is the Lord. Yes, sir?
The yeah.
People he has chosen. Mm-hmm.
Him. America will be saved. He has plans for this nation. He has a purpose. And we need to fulfill that purpose. So America is not going down. And this country will make sure that everything goes successfully because they're going to go out and vote. And they're going to vote pro-life. We can trust him to bring the plans and purposes for us to fulfillment. We can trust him for that, for America as well. See, it's got to happen now. Because we the people aren't going to put up with it any longer. We must make our voices heard. And the only way we can do that is at the voting booth. Make sure your vote gets in there before you go to Hawaii. That's all I got to say. Okay? Lean on, trust in, and be confident with the Lord, in the Lord with all your heart, mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him as our creator, worshiping and praising him as such. Okay? And he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Following God always means committing to following a lifestyle with Him. We commit to always put Him, His Word, His will first. Always committing to that. And we commit to following the leading of Holy Spirit. We must wholeheartedly commit to follow the one who knows more about us than we know about ourselves. See, that's why we got to talk to that person that's looking at you back in the mirror. We must entrust ourselves to Him who cares more about us in our prosperity and in our success than we do. He has promised us plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us a confident expectation of success, a future. See, He has our best interest at heart. And we can trust Him with our lives. He loves us. And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Now, these things are what it means to be with God. Okay? And to follow Him. If we are with God, we are putting God, His Word, His will first. And we are committed to doing that despite any sacrifices we may have to make. Whatever we think we may be sacrificing to follow God is nothing compared with the rewards of following Him. Now, some might argue and just say, you know, I'm not so certain. I'm just not sure, they might say. People like that often find themselves feeling dissatisfied. They're questioning rather than simply believing. See, they haven't reached the point with God where they could say with full assurance and faith, God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. That's it. Then you walk away thanking Him. Wow. Is it hard? No. This is not, as they say, rocket scientists. No, it's not. When the pressures, the tests and trials, situations and circumstances of life come to try to steal from us and make us doubt, we must let the infallible truth of God's Word be our rock and our foundation. We have to maintain our commitment to follow God, His Word, His will for our lives, no matter what. And we must steadfastly follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Your mind is probably shouting, I'm not going to make it at times. There's no way out of this one that I can see. All right. Biggie, Timmy, I think you like this. You may have to bite your lip to keep from giving in to hysteria and depression. You may have to just close your eyes and in faith, cling to the Master. Cling to Him. Because all you see is hopelessness. You just hang on to Him. Hang on. And if we will hold on to the truth, that to the answer to our problem is possible with God. You will make it through. And you will experience the fullness of His blessings. Says the Lord to you right now. Those are His words for you this day. Follow me with your whole heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't be looking left. Don't be looking right. He says, stay focused on me. Stay focused on me. Follow me. You're not going to trip. You may start to stumble, but I will hold you up with my righteous right hand and take you through. Hallelujah. Receive the blessings, he says. Hallelujah. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.